Carson Hocevar.
Right up here.
Thanks. Where's Beckman? I should just go ask questions. I shouldn't even just say it. I should just go ask questions at this rate.
Should we give you a name tag?
I know. Shoot. How are you? I mean, ideally, our cars, I'm hoping, are quicker at Super Speedways. Put a little bit more emphasis on it, but our cars are going to be faster, ideally. We feel good about it. Our, you know, relationships within Chevy and everybody's deeper. Our team's deeper, right? Like, we know, like, there's expectations this year. Last year, there was nothing. It was just like, all right, let's just see where we land and throw it at the dartboard and see. So, this year, it's now, like, how do we be competitive enough to run up front? And I thought we did that at the Clash, which I thought was a big shock for me, because normally we're not very good at those type of flat tracks and small. So that makes me really excited for our program.
Last year you didn't really have a huge veteran name on your team, but now Michael McDowell has since joined. How has he been in helping you guys prepare for this year?
I think he's been big for, like, especially for here. I think it's the biggest thing. He obviously won the race, and, you know, he runs good. And I think Travis has played more of a role just personally, just because, like, he just knows exactly what was on the cars. I like to do my kind of own thing, right? So my strategy was always kind of riding the back anyways at Super Speedways and everything. But, you know, we haven't really got enough races to be able to, like, me really pick Michael's brain or him pick mine. I normally just go out there and just run, and I don't like looking at data or talking about anything anyways. I just like just going to see if I'm good or not and putting my foot down and racing. So, having Michael, though, just adds depth, right? It just adds to our allotment that if I struggle or, you know, I can lean on him if he's running good, and that's ideally just going to fill our gaps as an organization. If you're a team owner, right, you're trying to run first, second, third. But if your cars struggle, right, like they're learning and they have their strong suits, and I think Michael's is the, you know, road courses and super speedways that he's going to hopefully elevate our program.
So if you're going off of more of that feel instead of the data, does that play other tracks more than data, say,
like, the different ones? Yes. I mean, for me, like, ideally I almost looked at these two. A little less now, but, like, when you'd ride, I would just always look at these two as an off week. I'd just hang out. I would just, you know, I'd be like, man, I'm just going to enjoy the weeks off, basically, because there's not a whole lot you can prepare and our cars weren't any good last year on Super Speedways. They just super draggy, and it just wasn't in the cards. Now we're trying to be fast everywhere, right? So I feel like we're a lot closer to the Hendrick cars based off our lap times there. Single car alone, so that's huge. Like, that's like a second difference from last year to this year, so I'm pumped about that. So the biggest thing that they want to do, right, is you know, they're trying to put in my head, like, at least, you know, still just kind of get me ready in case we're up front, to just give me all the info I have. But for me, it's so much more laid back, because there's about two instances that I study for here, and I just hang out the rest of the time. I have an iRacing rig on my hauler, so you'll probably not see me until race time, because I'll probably just be playing iRacing, Super Speedways, or World Outlaw Sprint Cars.
So, to that point, I was thinking maybe this is a question, but maybe not. How much can iRacing actually help get for Super Speedways specifically, even if the car doesn't feel, it's not a one-to-one, how much of that is just, like, that can help you reactionary, making the right decisions at the right time?
I mean, I think iRacing one-to-one for Super Speedways is light years more than any other deal. Like, I don't think I'm going to learn a whole lot doing anything else. But for Super Speedways, I think it's huge. I had to leave the race. There was like five to go. I was leading. I had to leave so I could go practice. We were just having fun. All my guys were having fun. And I'm maintaining lanes in a truck and manipulating lanes, and it's fun. But, yeah, I mean, I'm going to take advantage of it before the duel, and I'm just going to go try a bunch of weird stuff and hit people and have them hit me and maintain lanes. because, like, I'm more than happy to wreck over there than out here. It was the Daytona .5 for me. I mean, I'm not like a super speedway guy, so like, I don't want to say like I've been so anxious. Like, yeah, it would be cool to finish, right? But we ran good. Like, we finished 11th at July, so at least I finished here and kind of got out of my system. But it's the, like, for me, I want to just complete all the laps and get that, be there at the end of the, you know, the 500. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm definitely excited to go, but I'm at the same time, like, I don't love these super speedways anyway, so I can't get too excited, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, if we win the race, or like if I figure out how to maintain lanes and we run really good, then I'm gonna be really excited to come back the next year. But for me, like, I need a little bit more super speedway races to be excited for these.
I know there's a lot of emotions, you know, last year when you're making your first start. What are the emotions, and maybe how do they differ coming back here with a year under your belt now, you know, being established?
I think it's more just being a lot more confident and being a lot more decisive on decision making and decisive on how our cars to get developed. And yeah, I think it just adds, there's not any pressure. As Dan Campbell said one time, there's no weight. You just feel the wind underneath them. So I think that's the motto we've been going with.
How does it help?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely helps, right, to have friends out there, for sure. I don't know. I'll let you know how the duels in Daytona 500 go, for sure. But at the same time, we have a lot of Chevy friends that, you know, hopefully we'll work closely with, too. So there's a lot of death already, I felt like. Yeah, I appreciated that. That was funny. No, I cannot yodel. I bet you Justin could. He kind of fits the description. Little guy somewhere around here. He'll be in here. He'll have that suit on, so you'll see it. Little cowboy hat, bow tie. I'm actually, can we line it up so I can ask him questions when he comes here? Perfect. Fantastic. I'm going to be here. That way, he's got at least one friend that he's going to talk to. I mean, it's been good. All the teams are working really closely. There's a lot of depth. For me, there's more resources and less excuses in my mind, right? There's a lot more brain power. There's a lot more depth. I think the biggest hire we got was Matt McCall. I think it's super important that we're not racing against him or racing with him to just help us. And we have two crew chiefs that are super talented sitting on the sideline too, right? You have Ronnie and Travis on the box, but for me, I think it's super important for us to have Ryan Sparks and Matt McCall literally just sitting there and just trying to help all of us and seeing the stuff we don't see that, you know, you could get too closed in on because they have an outside perspective and they're working on all the details and, you know, they don't have to worry about, you know, getting the car ready for the week of, and they're just worried about ideas and helping our crew chiefs work together. Yeah, I mean, the rookie year adds confidence, but I think more importantly, we're 21st in playoffs, but if points-wise, we're like 20th, so I think that adds more confidence, right? Because if you're 31st with the rookie year, it's not as confident, but you know, top 16 in points, I mean, you can never plan who wins, who doesn't, but ideally, like, if we could be top 15 in points, that's a huge, huge year, even, you know, we want to make the playoffs, but being top 15 in points, you don't make the playoffs, right? Like, there's only so much you can really do, and you're talking 5-point spots. You know, that's a realistic goal to improve on. And you're not talking 10 to 15 spots. So I think that part's the most confidence building, that we're looking for a little bit more, and really it's that first part of the year where we're just going through the growing pains, and I think we'd be there.
Along those lines, one of the bigger stories last year was that you were outperforming this fire car more than most other drivers have. does that add pressure going into this year, knowing you have to at least match that?
No, not really. Cause I don't know why we were so good last year. I just drive, so like, I don't know why I was good in the 42 car when I first got in. I don't know why I was good in the 7 when I first got in it. I just drive. Like, we're either going to be faster or slow. So, for me, like, there's less excuses and there's more brain power. And, I mean, we're fast at the Clash, which I didn't expect to be any good at the Clash, to be honest. Like, just because that's not our forte. I thought it would be, like, you know, like, let's get through the Clash. You know, we'd be okay and let's build. I thought we'd make it, but I didn't think we'd be... We're the third fastest car on lap times, and you know, you just get through the field, you get spawn or spin yourself is really what I did. But we were super fast, which makes me excited to go to places like Martinsville and stuff that we struggled and really just fill out our schedule. Like, we're good at a lot of places, but we need to be better at some. And the Clash, I think, really was the eye teller for me that I think we're heading in the right direction. Well, I mean, when Rodney walked in, so did four other crew chiefs too. So, I think it was just a combination. I mean, it's everybody. It's, I mean, Rodney's great, but for me, like, it's, you know, Matt McCall, Rodney, Travis, Nick Case, and Sparks getting off the box, and all of them. Like, I mean, we have, in my mind, we have 5 crew chiefs for 3 cars, that are super, super talented, and we have way smarter, and we have Dax, we have a bunch of smart people just in their specific roles to make these cars go fast. And, you know, Mr. H and Hendrick Motors continue to help us with our engine programs and everything, and Jeff Dickerson, and, you know, that whole group is just rocking. So I think it's just the whirlwind of people that came in and not anyone specific, and I think that's why I think we're going to be successful, or Spire's going to be successful, because we're not relying on one person. We're relying on a whole group, and I think that's what's really cool is they work super well all together.
How high have you guys set expectations for this year?
Well, our boss wants all 3 in the playoffs. I don't know how realistic that one is. But, I mean, you got to have tip-top goals, right? For me, it's like I want to make the playoffs, but at the same time, you know, it pays a lot better to be in the playoffs, right? And it's great. But if we were to win and have an average finish of 28th versus an average finish of 11th and be top 15 in points and not make it, I'd probably take that one, honestly. So for me, it's I want to run good. I want to finish top 15 in every race, and just let the points fall where they're going to fall. And if you keep doing that, you're going to win a race. You're going to be a good spot. And, but for me, if we can be top 15 in points, we're going to be close to winning a race and everything. Like, I had my goal set of top 20 in points last year. We're 19th regular season. Someone behind us wins, you're 21st. For me, this year, plus 5 spots, you're 15th. Anything better than that, obviously, is a success.
Is that something Jeff actually said, like, all 3 need to or should make it?
Well, he said he wants them in the playoffs and needs them in the playoffs. So I think he'd be pumped if we got 1. But... he's a great motivator, and he said all 3 in the playoffs, and we're going to try and make that happen, right? Like, I mean, it's not going to be just 1 in the playoffs, right? It's, you know, all 3 of us work together, so if all 3 of us are as close as working together, right, all 3 should have the same shot. I think this place is more unpredictable in my mind because the wrecks don't happen from bad blocks anymore. They just happen for bad pushes. So, like, at Atlanta, you're more chaotic and you can kind of see wrecks happening. Here, you're sitting in line, saving fuel, and somebody wants to hit somebody a little too hard and they spin. So, for me, I think it's more unpredictable for something to happen here, honestly. Well, just like you could kind of predict more, and you're kind of wide, you're kind of running the top, and you're running the bottom. Here, you're tight on the bottom, and you can't really see with the banking and how it is at Atlanta and how smaller it is. But kind of we get gaps. You can kind of see wrecks happen where here it seems to always just be like down the back stretch, somebody gets hit wrong, and they spin, and six car lanes back, you can't see anything, and they're wrecking in your lap, and you didn't even know it.
Does it boost your confidence anymore that your driver going into your second full-time season with how competitive the Cup Series is, with a growing team, that you're, I guess, an expectation, a lot of people predicting that that's a good car in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think so, right? Like, For me, I like to finish well, right? So I like to maximize our finish. So for me, like, I don't have, like, a lofty goal of, like, let's make the playoffs. Because you could, theoretically, you could be, like, third in points and miss it, right? So for me, it worked well last year saying my goal was 20th in points. So my goal next year is 15th in points. You might be close. You might not be in points depending on who wins, who doesn't. But if we can be around there and try to finish top 15 every single race, you're going to be exactly where we're going to want to be. And if we're running as consistent as that, you're going to have a shot fall into your lap at some point. Whether you're fast enough for it or not, you're going to have an opportunity at some point in my mind.
Last year, your Daytona 500 bid to win this race was over before it really began.
Yep.
How disheartening is that when that happens? And is something you think about all year long going to the next Daytona 500?
Well, I've thought about it in more of the other super speedways, and we had like an average finish of 15 just sitting there riding and making sure we got to the end. So I think our cars are better this year for sure, based off practice there, which I was happy to have. Yeah, I think we're in a good spot, and I definitely want to just get to the end of this one. My goal is to walk out of here in Atlanta, finish both, get my points, put them in the bank, and then go racing.
Well, and your teammates were really, really good two-way racers as well. How much has that helped you in preparation for this race as well?
It does and doesn't, right? Obviously they're super good, but they're super confident, right? Like they want to lead and be up front and you know, just do what they want to do. And for me, I'm like, I just want to hang out in the back, or I want to make sure I'm there and be smart. So, it just makes it a little awkward, right? Because I want to do something different than them, and you want to be a good teammate. You want to balance that out. So it's just being able to manage that, as well as, you know, still have the depth of, you know, our Chevy teammates and everything. So I feel good about it on my approach to this, and definitely have their, you know, it's cool to hear. It's big for me to hear the other side and hear, you know, their experiences of being up front or doing that, just because I don't have a lot of that late in these races of leading and managing races. Yeah. I mean, it was a blur, but it was, I mean, it couldn't have happened at a better time. It couldn't happen more perfect time for me in my career. It's literally the reason I'm sitting here. It's the reason Jeff Dickerson and I call him Dad a handful of times. He's like my second dad. Yeah, for me, it was the most perfect opportunity of how I perform and how I like to go to races. Like, 3 days of notice, a bit of chaos before the race, and so much information that I just kind of just sat back and said, I'm just going to go drive a race car, right? You have all this SMT, you have all this footage, and the only thing I really looked at and digested was I watched some in-car footage and went racing. And, you know, ran those 70 laps, and, you know, you're there with cup owners you've never seen before, and they're standing on top of their hauler, and you know, I remember walking from the infield care center and getting head nods from owners that I've never even met or been face to face with yet. So it's never been when I got basically a standing ovation by my whole crew after leaving the infield care. And I never was more happy. You're never happy to see anybody crash, but I was really glad there was more people that had the same part failure that us, to just reassure them and me, right, that, you know, we weren't pushing them too hard, we weren't doing anything, it just, we chose the wrong brake package that decided to crack. So but those 70 laps too, I think it even helped me that we ended early, because we ended going forward. It was because I remember a month later we were running top 8 lap times. A month later, the story is we're running top 8 lap times. 3 months later, it was top 5 lap times. 6 months later, we were going to have a shot to win the race. And then by a year later, we're telling the story that we had the race won and we had them covered. So it was those kind of narratives that I think helped me for sure, too.
What was it like
Well, I ran the truck race the night before. Yeah,
yeah,
so.
Were you wired because of what the next day presented?
I don't even remember the night before, to be honest. I just remember being really happy there was a truck race. Like, I remember we ran fourth. We had everything that could have gone wrong. We had a fuel issue that had to start in the back. Like, somebody missed a shift and knocked the left side off. It wasn't able to be pitable. And then we couldn't get the fuel in. And I mean, the whole left side was chunked on this truck. And we finished fourth. So I just remember leaving. I was like, man, if I could survive that and run fourth, like, this cup race, like, we should be fine. So I remember someone like I'm pretty close with now, like, brought me to their hauler and pre-race and told me how to get out of the way when I'm getting lapped. So that's the only thing I remember. And funny enough, I was like right behind him when we broke. So I haven't even mentioned it to him. I might laugh about it with him, but yeah, it's a lot of fun. That's the main thing I remember. And I mean, basically, I was walking on cloud nine the second I left that race. For me, I had pretty high expectations. Like, I mean, my first ever cup race in the 7, right, we were running top 15, went to the Southern 500, ran top 15, qualified 15, then went to the Bristol race and ran 5th at Bristol, had a loose wheel, finished 11th. So a lot of times I was like, I'd go to my agent and everybody, I was like, hey, when's the struggle supposed to happen? Like, because I'm just going just driving these cars as hard as I can, and right, and I'm like, is it supposed to, I mean, it's not easy, but like, is it supposed to happen this quick and everything? And I know at one point, like, I had a bunch of people asking why I was not trying to argue to stay in the 42 and get in the 77, and I had all the faith in our group, and I think it's worked out perfect for us, for sure.
And that's why a lot of us couldn't be drivers. I'm not talking specifically about you, but at a place like Daytona, where there's nose to tail, is it worrisome to think of not safety so much as what if I do something stupid, which I think about all the time, right?
Yeah.
Just even in covering somebody, you know, you're walking backwards with the light. But do drivers, young drivers, think that way?
No, I haven't. Like, ever since I got in a cup car, I was only worried about being slow. Like, I figured if I was slow, they wouldn't want me. If I was fast and out of control, they could fix the out of control part. So, and we've been pretty in control, I guess. So, no, that was my only worry ever, was just being slow. So I never was worried about making mistakes or wrecking or issues or whatever. You know, my only worry some was, you know, just being slow.
See, that makes good sense, because if you wouldn't be a driver if you were going to worry about stuff like that. But drivers have an ability to block that out even at a young age. Mm-hmm. It's something that just doesn't enter the mind of a driver.
I don't know. It just comes naturally to me. Like, I'm just wanting just to be fast. Like, that's all I care about is being fast. You know, I figure the results and everything else kind of takes care of itself sometimes. But if you're being fast, that's the part that really matters.
Okay. In the pack and you're thinking about pulling out, is what goes into your mind, am I fast?
I don't know, in the pack, it's just, in the pack it's all just about making the right moves. Like, you're more wondering if you're getting in the fast lane, really, is like, is this lane going to push me forward, or am I going to be getting in this lane and then all of a sudden just tank? So I think that's really what it is.
True word is fast.
Yeah.
Good luck, okay?
Thanks. Favorite Saturday Night Live performer of all time? Pete Davidson. Yeah. Good. Okay.